don't know if everyone can see that. So we'll put the law nice and low. No, good. My sermon title this evening is simply Love Creates a Response. When I say love creates a response, the only way to describe that is a little situation that I've had, an awesome privilege I've had to know Mr. James Preston. I've known James for the last 3 years, and from the moment I met him, like, it was predestined glory. We know, like, the first question I asked him was, how do you know when you have a word for the whole church? So, like, already from the word go, the relationship that I had with James was big. Everything was big from the start. James was on a mission to change the world and to make me known that I'm his son and that he wants to father me. Even though that I have a biological dad, James wanted to be a spiritual dad. And continually, James kept saying to me, at first, it was just, I love you. Like, it would be through message, it would be through verbal. Every time we were just interacting, he'd keep saying, I love you. And I didn't ever have anything to say back. I was just like, okay, like, this is a bit weird. But, see there, I'm like, you know. Over time, he kept saying, I love you, my son, I love you. And inside of me, hearing that created this thing, even for Jennifer, when she says, I love you, I feel to respond and say, I love you, back. There's a response that it creates. I want to tell you that if you're hearing a gospel that's not creating a response, it's not a gospel of love. Because love creates a response. Now, I don't know how many of you who were here last time I preached on portal, supernatural portals, and for the hang of it, somehow, this is portal 2. It's the add-on from the previous. You can figure that out. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, stay true to the sound doctrine. Now, I just really felt to pray and just say, Lord, I thank you, Father, for just sound doctrine. Like, I don't know exactly what that is. It's not pure understanding of the Bible, but it's just knowing God and knowing a relationship with him that's ever increasing, that's building up, that's productive, that's producing fruit. So I just thank you, Father, just for sound doctrine just to come tonight, Father. Just that you can renew our minds and you can change our mindsets, Father, and that we can just know how to love you more and we can know how much you love us, Father. So just thank you, Lord, just for your presence to come as I speak. I just thank you, Lord, that where I'm confused, that you said the gospel's foolishness and that tonight I can just come and impact people and just change their lives, Father. And the same gospel that I encountered, the same person that I encounter, I just thank you, Father, that you can just encounter them tonight and just set them up for your kingdom. Amen. So sound doctrine, simply. In sound, you get mono, you get stereo, and you also get like surround sound, which is like 5.1. So what is sound doctrine? Like, you can get mono, where you just hear one person's point of view. You can get stereo, where you get two absolutes, this or this. But in mono, it's like this. It's like, the church believes this, agree with it, or leave. Stereo is like two absolutes where you'll often have a split in the church where you'll have the one group believing, I don't know, and the other group believing something different. I just felt God saying, you know, true surround sound is bigger than, if you do know the technical thing, you get 5.1, 7.1. But it's just meaning sound's coming from a lot of different directions. I felt God saying that true sound doctrine is just a sound resounding to you from different directions. Sound doctrine is not John Crowder, Andrew Womack, Steve, James, Jimmy, you know, like it's all of them together. Like, sound doctrine is hearing what God's doing on the planet today, recognizing it, being thankful for it, and really just tapping into that. There's a lot of deception. And I was thinking about it, you know, a lot of what I believe is deception now, and a lot of what I believed 5 years ago was really deception. I'm slowly but surely coming out of deception, but to fight this deception battle is just like you're sinking your own ship to try to figure out what is deception, what's not. Just hear what God is saying, and he'll lead you into all truth. Just as love creates a reaction, In 2009, I came to this church. I was timid, I was shy, and I heard this message of grace, and I reacted. And the reaction from hearing the message of grace is me standing here today. That is the manifestation of the gospel. Me serving in the church, me doing notices, sermons, helping, ministering, helping guys who come here, anything I help with is a manifestation of the gospel. So I want to say for my own life, if you look at my own life, like if you want proof that the gospel works, look at me. I'm not trying to be proud, but even Paul said, you know, the things that Paul achieved was because of the revelation he had in Christ. You know, and he fought on because of Christ. And everything I am today and everything I want to be in this world is, you know, giving thanks to that grace of God that I encountered. Cool. Freedom. It's a big term. I watched The Avengers last night. It's a really good movie. It's also really cool. Lots of superheroes, when they work together, they succeed. The message in that. Freedom. Bill Johnson says that freedom is the ability to do what is right. I just heard it in a sermon. It's not an actual quote, but I heard him say the freedom, the definition of freedom is the ability to do what is right. So I started thinking about it, you know, like freedom's something that I really wanted in my life. And every young teenager, you know, they just want freedom. They want to get out of home and, you know, be free. I started thinking about it. And a good scripture for freedom is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. How many of you know that scripture off by heart? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Cool. Less than what I thought, but cool. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus Christ came, and he brought something that we never had. Up to Jesus' death, freedom was not something known on this planet. Technically, okay, you can get into it, but it says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. He came to bring freedom so that we can be free. So if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and there is the fruit of the Spirit, surely there's fruit of freedom. If the Holy Spirit is freedom, and you get fruits of the Holy Spirit, you get the fruits of freedom. It's cool. I heard God say it about an hour ago while I was in the bathroom. So, you'll figure this out. I'm sure you're looking at it and you're like, what is going on here? Something else I wanted to redefine is the fear of God. I went to John Crowder's conference this last week, and he spoke about the fear of God and saying how it's good. And I'm like, okay, how is the fear of God good? Everyone associates fear with bad. Even to say churches that don't understand the message of grace, they still don't understand the fear of God. They still like, no, the, you know, what is the fear of God? So my definition, which is really cool, if I might say so, is it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I say God is big, and when you encounter God, you're going to change. That's my fear of God, that I want you to know that God is big, and when you encounter him, you will change. That's a fear. If the world comes and they stand in God's glory, their life has to change. There's no equation that they can step out of his glory and not change. Something has to change when you encounter God. And I think we need to stop being scared of terms that, like, came under the cross. Jesus killed the spirit of fear. Just so that we don't mention a term, we read it in the Bible and we just skip past it because we're scared of it. And something else I wanted to tackle is discipline. We're all scared of the word discipline. I've started thinking about it more and more, and I'm like, you know, we have disciplinedly preached grace. We preach grace without fail, continually. Every morning I wake up, if you encounter God every day, that's a discipline that you've created in your life. Whenever I go into the shower, I make a note just to say, God, let your presence come. And I love it. For me, the shower is a place where there's oxygen, and I just get so much like revelation out of it. Anyways, but that's a discipline for me. I practice that daily. There is nothing wrong with discipline. There's nothing wrong with quiet time. There is nothing wrong with reading your Bible. Those are brilliant, excellent things. If you have kids, you have children, kids need discipline. It's not a harsh thing of hitting them. You know, they regularly need the gospel. You can't preach the gospel once to your kid and he's just like, and you're like, okay, well, I preached the gospel to him once. Like, they need regular, constant input into their life. There is absolutely nothing wrong with discipline. Godly discipline is amazing. I already felt, some of you come to church and you're like, oh, I'm just a member and there's elders. Like, there's members and there's elders. Like, there's a separation, but you don't realize that they're also just members and they're actually very similar to you. They just get paid by the church and you don't, and they work here and you don't. Like, you're not that different from the people who work here. Yeah, you're not. You all are competent ministers of this new covenant. Jesus qualified you as a minister. And you know what? If you're not recognized in this church and you feel, I have such a good word to preach, God's qualified you. He can create a platform for you to preach. If you feel a message burning inside of you, godly stirring up inside of you, you can't get it out. You're a minister of the gospel. You know, God's made a platform. You have a platform in your family, in your workplace, everywhere you go. You know, you're on the hill. You're a light shining on the hill. Like, you don't need to be up here to preach. Like, you don't. There's people longing to be ministered to. There's people in this church who don't even fully understand the message of grace. And every person sitting here, we can look at them and just think, oh, they're in the congregation. They get grace. There's something to it. There's something that changes when you understand the grace of God. Your face, your life, everything inside of you changes when you encounter Him. Cool. So, we're gonna get onto this. Here we have bondage. Okay, previously, you were sinful, bad, right? Jesus died for you, and He created a way for you to get out of that place. But while you were sinful, there was the law, which was God's standard, which technically in your mind was separating you from God. So you were this side, can be the cross, you were this side, separated by the law, trying to get into the kingdom. The kingdom being the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, joy, everything you've ever wanted in life. So you standing over here, stuck in sin, looking towards the kingdom, and Paul even says in Romans 7, and I believe he's referring to his sinful days, he wanted to be there. Unsaved people want to have a good family. They want to do good works, change this world. They want to feed the poor. They want to make the world a happy place, but they're stuck in sin, and something is seemingly separating them from going to there. So really simply, God gave us an option to get from here to that side, and this is where Portal gets incorporated. So Graham, if you want to come up and grab the hula hoop and go stand by the fruit of freedom. So we're stuck here. We're separated by the law. Pretty much, we thought the only way to get to that side was basically keep according to the law, and if you fail, you go back and you try again. Eventually, you can almost get there. And then you look, and you're like, oh, you know. And then you walk back, you know. Well, you actually just get thrown back. And then God hates you even more. And like, you start back even further. And you just go further and further. And you feel like the law is separating you from one day being good enough. One day you'll be righteous. One day you'll be perfect. One day. When you are stuck this side, God created a little thing called faith. A gift that He gave you. God gave you a gift of faith. I believe it's given to everyone, but not everyone chooses to act on it. Jesus describes it and He says, how hard is it for a rich man to come into the kingdom? And He says, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which was like a really small narrow pathway. Somehow, we got sucked through this little pathway. Like Jesus sucked our whole body, if you think of it, through here. And if you understand portals, you skip all this, and I come out over here. Okay. So, somehow, you got sucked by faith. You don't understand this all. It's all spiritual, which maybe you do understand and you've seen it. We got sucked through faith. We skipped the law, and we literally just walked up the side, and we popped out here. We look back, and the law's been fulfilled inside of us. What we don't understand is, how did we get here? We think we... Paul says, it wasn't by works so that no one can boast. Like, you were sucked through. There was an opening that just Jesus' body and his blood made a way for you to step through, fulfill the law, and come out the other side, and you're stuck in freedom. And you know what's really interesting is that just as how hard it is to go through the eye of a needle, you know, try to come back. You know, and God's not going to let you come back because he wants you on that side. And he's killed the nature that wants to keep you on this side. It's just believing in him and you land up in freedom. Thank you, Graham. So, to get the picture, somehow I got sucked here. Close your eyes. I came out here. Okay, instant. One instant. Finished. Holy, perfect, righteous, even sanctified. All there. It was a work. And now me looking back and realizing what I've come from can be a process. Now, how many of you have ever been drunk on alcohol? Pierre, good man, honesty. Okay, there's a few. Awesome. I've never been drunk. A part of me wants to, just to see what it's like, but I haven't ever been drunk. Now, when you're drunk, you do stuff. And stuff, you fall over, or you swear at people, or you get, I don't know if you're angry, your anger just gets enraged. Everything just gets enlarged. And drunkenness creates a reaction. So something I want to encourage you to is, we stand here thinking we should have done all that. Even though we're saved, we understand we're here, but something inside of us feels we need to still achieve that way. And I want to tell you that when you're drunk on the Spirit, you produce the fruit of freedom. Every moment you spend with the Holy Spirit, he is stirring up fruits inside of you. Every instant, every moment you've seen Jesus, there is this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of freedom. It's a result of being around him. You had nothing to do with this. The fruit that's bared now, you have nothing to do with it. It's what we called dead works. Dead works. You were stuck here trying to get across. You wanted to get to a standard and you did stuff, but it was never ever alive. There was, you know, there was no faith in it. It was just you trying. And the only way to ever get across was through faith. And now this side, on the fruit of freedom, it's a fruit. You bear it. It grows. It comes off you. You actually just sometimes have to wait. So, we all know this. This is simple. If you don't know this, that's awesome. Like, God wants to show you it. And he wants to show you it better than I understand it. Because you don't need monotheology. Kingdom principles. I'm standing this side. We can say, this is the cross. This is the work the Holy Spirit did in me. Now, I've come into a kingdom. And it says, this kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's like the most simple description of what this kingdom is. Now, standing in this kingdom, if I told you I'm an alcoholic, does anything I just said ring true in your brain? Like, I'm like Andrew, an alcoholic? No. You know, like, I see that kid at church always, you know, Like, he's not, like, hangs off to the side and then drinks, you know. But if I say I'm an alcoholic, it does not ring true. You know, some of you are like, well, back then, I was an alcoholic. You know, now, I still practice. But you had nothing to do with it. You were sucked. Like, I love the expression, sucked out of your body, like through the cross. If people say things to you and you feel condemned from it, I want to tell you there's no condemnation in Christ. This side of the condemnation was left that side. You know, there's still stuff to be done. There's still processes that happen this side. It's not condemning. Something I do believe in, and I don't really know how theological it is, I believe in conviction. Maybe it's just a word to describe when I've realized what I've done has hurt someone. I believe in conviction as well. Like, to restore that term to this church. When even a new creation nature in the kingdom, if I beat someone up, I should feel remorse for it. We're not robots. You know, just as there we wanted to do good, we still had a bit of a struggle. This side, there's still a bit of a struggle. Like, it's not hectic, but it's just sometimes your body desires something and still believes you're there, and you're still that side. Yeah, it's not really much of an issue. This side of the kingdom, I felt tonight to restore some ideas we had about the kingdom. And a lot of people think the kingdom is people fulfilling the law, and just, I actually don't know what that looks like. Like, I was reading, Jesus says, obey my commandments. Like, which ones are those? Like, I still don't know, you know. He says, love your neighbor. That's the only one that comes out. But this side of the kingdom that we are in, when you just believe in Jesus, you enter into a kingdom, and there's some principles that happen here. To say there's a process in the kingdom, like, if we're going to take over this world, there's a percentage to the influence of the message and the presence of God. Right now, it's probably sitting at, I don't know, stats are like so wrong, but it's probably like 5% of the world know the presence and the message of God. So there's a process of us spreading this to the world. So there's nothing wrong with the word process either. Who wants to see the world saved? Like, who agrees that they're not saved at the moment? Like, they're forgiven, but they're not saved. You know, like, they haven't been sucked through this. They haven't realized this kingdom. They haven't seen us as Christians, as ministers, operate from the kingdom. We're all trying to figure this process that just happened, and we're like in awe, but still somehow tapping into condemnation, and we don't realize that we're in a kingdom that's different to anything we've ever known. In this kingdom, we don't regard people according to the flesh. It's not a matter of talk, but of power. It's completely different principles that we've never, ever encountered. So stepping into the kingdom of Highway, I want to honor Steve and Janet for the work and for the process that they've been through to transition this church into grace. And I hope that people download this sermon. And I hope that they listen to this. And I hope that Steve and Janet listen to this. Because they have been amazing. People have literally turned their back on them. People have just been horrible to Steve and Janet. And they've still loved back. They've made mistakes. But you know what? Our church is still standing today. And we're still boldly declaring the message of grace. You know, honor doesn't say everything you did was right. But honor says, I honor the good in you. You know, I see Christ in you. I see this process. I see you as in the kingdom. Just as nothing that happened here was mine, we're all in the kingdom. You know, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all of one body. So I want to honor in particular Steve and Janet and Jimmy and James and Michelle and Kareen and Nita and Roxy and Teresa, who's just stepped in, and Sherwin and Brad and Zip. Like, every single person, every single minister, every single elder, every single deacon that's ever built this church we need to realize that we can stand on their shoulders through honor. The processes that they went through, the sweats and tears that they put into this church, you can either just say, eh, old covenant, wrong, I don't agree with that, and you can miss a message that was coming through. There is something to honoring those who went before you. The Israelites were known for honoring their forefathers. They told their children messages. And what were the messages that came through? The story of how Noah believed God, of how Abraham had faith. Like, it's every single good story they told their children. And if you don't know how to honor, I want to tell you that you don't know the principles of this kingdom. Because this kingdom's not based on dead works. Like, it's something different. I want to honor his church. I don't know how many of you here know his church. They're across here in Pantown. I went to school there for my whole schooling, pretty much, from grade 2 to grade 12. And they imparted a lot of the kingdom message in me. I didn't even know it. There is something amazing about people who will sit with children and continually just declare God's kingdom over them and declare who God is and that he wants a relationship with you. There is something amazing, and I believe there's a reward in heaven for people who just love children. There's something on children. When a kid gets sucked through this, they get this kingdom. They get it. And I believe when Jesus says you need to become like a child in the kingdom, I believe in the kingdom we need to become like children. To come across, you just needed faith. But in here, to really tap into the fullness of the kingdom, you need to become like a child who just honors because it's the right thing to do. Because he's free. He's bearing the fruits of freedom. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Logically, people persecute you. Your boss is horrible to you. He swears at you. But for some reason, this kingdom is not based on works. And you have the power and the authority to honor him and see the good inside of him. Thank you, his church, for everything that they put inside of me. It is amazing, and I'm so thankful to them. And I want to recommend that you send your kid to a Christian school, and an ACE school in particular, which is Accelerated Christian Education. It's a system from America. It's very good. Awesome. Good works. Good works. Good works. Something works, like works. I don't know why. We hate the term of works. Like, we thought, you know, works never got us here, so why is it an issue? Like, it was something we were trying to do but never actually achieved. It was previously dead, so what does good works look like when it's alive? Like, I want to implore you, encourage you, and put a mandate on you to step out in good works in this kingdom, this side of the cross, to say, you know what? I'm going to feed the poor. That guy who I see begging at the robots, every single day, I'm going to tip him. I'm going to give him so much money. I'm going to ask him, how was work today? I'm going to show him this kingdom. Good works is going to flourish. I think it's slightly shameful that we get this message of grace and we don't result in this kingdom. I don't understand. People say they get grace and they go, they leave church. They stop tithing. Start a little house church and they feel that's God's divine revelation. You know, that they started a house church. You know what? Awesome. I honor your house church and I hope they grow. But there's something about a corporate church and there's something about honoring. And if you feel to leave a church, I think honor is something. You're still in the kingdom. Every single church that professes the name of Jesus is in the kingdom. We're all brothers and sisters. Honor is something, it's a language that we speak. You don't leave a church, slate them, and bring them down just so you can feel good about your next church. Honor is a language that I made a covenant with James to bring honor to Highway. And that's something that's driving me on. You know, when I feel hurt and left out and just pushed to the side sometimes. Honor is something that stirs up inside of me and says, I'm going to respond in a language that you want to learn. Honor is crazy. For me, I don't know, the language of my heart that I've always wanted to know. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence. And just for sound doctrine tonight to come from heaven, just to be declared. Just as they're singing in heaven, Father, just speak right now. You've been predestined to do good works. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, God planned for you to help the poor. God planned for you to be able to tithe to your local church. I don't even know that many good works. They should be flowing off the top of my head. God planned that you can raise up righteous children who know God and His principles and who know how to practice the kingdom. If we have realized this process that we've come through, surely there should be some amazement to this kingdom, and there should be some mandate on us to tap into this kingdom. Everyone's focused on this, which is amazing, which is the foundation. For some reason, there's something inside of me that's saying there's some reaction. Love creates something. Why are we not responding? When James says, I love you, why am I feeling awkward to say I love you back? You know, how do we know love? This is how we know love, that He loved us. In this kingdom, we can shoot portals out to other people. Us doing good work shows them the kingdom and says, come, just believe, just believe. This law thing is not something we know. We might look like we fulfill the law just because that's how righteous we are. We're righteous people. God's been trying to explain to me what that looks like, and I'm just really confused. What does it mean to be righteous? I went and looked up the definition of righteous, and it just means like moral, like morally good. Righteous people love their government. Righteous people honor their government, their local government. We honor our presidents. That's righteous. Righteous means you pay your taxes. Righteous means it's spiritual and physical. Why not? Why not? Are we so stuck on a message that is removed from works that we can't do works ourselves? Are we scared of works? Works had nothing to do with it. There is something in the kingdom that is on a foundation of grace. It looks like the works that we're doing. That looks like Mother Teresa, but is completely on grace. That's completely jacked up on grace. They're stuck here in grace, and this response is coming. And I've realized in my own life, I'm going to say, I love you, James. I love you, Bruce. Thank you for every good work that you've put into my life. Thank you for every lift that you've given me. That you didn't say, oh, grace, Bruce, levitate, teleports, you know. Like He came and fetched me from my house. He greeted me in the morning, you know, and He spoke to my mom and said, how is she? You know, like, there's still something in this kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Just as there's supernatural and there's crazy stuff, there's some language that the world can understand. The first world is not looking for supernatural. They are looking for righteousness, peace, and joy. You can go to a third world country and they see the supernatural and they believe. And they see the hand of God move and something just, they just get it. Children just get it. But the first world needs to see this kingdom. They need to see us invade media, TV, newspapers, the good news. It needs to go out. Is it a work? Yes. Is it works? Yes. Damn right. Like, how else, if it's not a process, are we just going to sit on 5% and say, we're drunk on 5%? You know, like, let's get drunk on 100%. Like, it's a process. This happened, but there's a process in the kingdom. There's a process to changing the way you communicate with people. There's a process to bringing your family into the fullness of Christ. We're not robots, and that's why there's a process. Because if we're robots, we wouldn't be here. We'd be like in God's factory making humans or something. Anyways, we're not robots. We're made in His image. I was thinking, you know, God actually learns stuff. If we're made in God's image, He can learn more about us. He's very similar to us, but He's just God. And He just wants to have a relationship with us. He's all-knowing, He's all-wise, but He still wants to know you. Awesome. This has been the drunkest passage of my life. Like, where's Titus? I first heard this when I was in the elders' meeting, busy being rebuked for preaching grace. Someone help me, where's Titus? New Testament. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, here we go. Titus. And he said to me, don't you know the grace of God teaches you to say no to ungodliness? And when I heard this, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, that makes so much sense. And he's like, no, you don't understand. And I was like, I do understand. Like, the grace of God teaches me this kingdom. This process is continually making me look to the cross and continually working inside of me. Paul said, it's not our work, but Christ who works in me. This exact process of supernatural is happening in you. It was a once-off event. Christ is still working in you. Like, how amazing was it when you first encountered Jesus? That same person is continually working in you. Cool. I don't know how much of this I'm going to read. I'll run through it really quick. You need to hear this. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Paul's writing to Titus. Titus was a young guy, probably a bit older than me, maybe not. I don't know. This is an amazing mandate that he puts on his life. And he says, as for you, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. This is kingdom. Paul is not talking to people that side. He's talking to you in here. Teach the older woman to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers, drinkers of alcohol. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, and to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to like wisely, and you yourselves will be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching cannot be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. There's so much in that. When Highway starts tapping into the kingdom even more than we are now, the churches and the people in Durban will have nothing to say against us. Grace is a message that brings you to the fullness and the maturity of Christ. Hearing this stirs up something inside of you. And I just feel like I want to pop the cork that's been stopping good works in this church. That awkwardness to reply to James and say, I love you, that was finished on the cross. Before, when it was dead, now it's alive. This is something that's crazy, this next verse. He says, slaves must obey their masters and do their best to please them. Clearly, if Paul's preaching a message of freedom, and he says, slaves, obey your masters, our definition of freedom is wrong. Slaves, honor your masters. The slave is still free. And showing his master that he's free could be honoring him. You might feel like your boss is your master and you're not in freedom. But I want to tell you that Christ gave you freedom. And you can move to a job that gives you freedom, and you won't know what to do with it. Christ, only because of him, there's freedom. And it says, slaves will make the teaching about our Savior attractive in every way. Slaves will make Jesus attractive. That's crazy. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. The grace has been revealed. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to the hope of that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus, will be revealed. He gave his life to us to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Grace teaches you to live godly. It's in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, I've encountered God and he's shown me the exact same thing. Every encounter I have with his presence, every vision I have, every time I step into this like zoning room, which I can explain one day, he shows me the kingdom, he shows me righteousness, peace, and joy. Like just good deeds. Like when God speaks to me, he speaks in good deeds. He's like, go love that person. Go pray for that person. I want to see them healed. Go love on that child. Go bless that guy. Give him some food. Give him some money. Like we're called to this kingdom. And if I'm not drunk while I'm preaching, I don't know why. I don't. It's like, this is what I feel. The Hulk has the other guy when he gets angry. I have the other guy when I get drunk. Doesn't happen often, but when it does, God gives me so much revelation and understanding. When I come back to my normal self, I'm alive again. I'm different. I turn into that other guy where I'm just drunk on the Spirit, and slowly but surely, I'm learning. Not like the Hulk where he prevents that. I'm learning to condone that and to live in this mindset of just being drunk on Jesus and the cross and letting that manifest in the kingdom. So, practically, what can we do in this church to bring the kingdom? I think John Crowder said it amazingly. You know, people on the floor when they're drunk look at people on the chairs and say, you're not drunk. And people on the chairs say, you are drunk. They both think each other should join them, you know? Like, the guy on the chair can feel condemned because he's not drunk, and the guy on the floor should feel condemned because he is drunk. It's silly, and it's just immaturity, just bad kingdom principles. We need to honor people, whether they're encountering God for a purpose or not. God is very intentional, but he's very unintentional. He's like, I want to love you because I want to love you. So let's show the elders in this church that we can help and serve them. How amazing, James, how amazing will this be if 10 people come up to you and say, can we take you out for breakfast tomorrow morning? Tuesday morning. Monday's the day of rest. That's changing the environment. That's stepping up kingdom. That's taking this work, this glorious thing that we've encountered, and just making it real. Just simply taking an elder, just blessing them. Blessing Joel with amazing clothes and presents. It's been crazy seeing all the stuff that they get. And it's awesome, and that's kingdom. And the kingdom's inside of us, whether we like it or not. If you believe in Jesus, something's stirring inside of you to do good deeds. Sorry. Let's not let our... And hear what I'm saying here. Our fetish about grace, like this consuming thing of grace, hinder us from just practicing the kingdom. Whether or not we agree with every teaching, with conviction of sin, with you're righteous or not righteous, with you can sin or can't sin, you know, we're all in the same body. Let's not let doctrine stop us from living a reality. Let's raise up teachers who can describe the supernatural. And I look to the glory guys. People don't understand the glory. They don't understand those things. And I believe a fivefold gifting of a teacher is someone who can describe the supernatural. That when a prophet comes and says, I see a unicorn flying over a rainbow, and he went to a gold treasure chest, and he pulled it out, and he said, that word's for you. And you're like, what? There's teachers that are being raised up that can describe what's happening. And that was a very crazy story. I've never, ever heard that before. Supernatural stuff is weird. There's a kingdom of light, there's angels, there's cherubims, if I'm saying it right. Like, there's different stuff we don't understand. And God is raising up teachers who are not just Bible fanatics who have doctrines and have studied for years. Like, the more I study theology, I'm just like, Jesus, show me kingdom. Show me reality. Teachers want to take people from theology to reality. What else are they doing? Are they just teaching you into more theology? Like, surely what they teach should become a reality. And then a call to everyone who's listening to this download, www.howe.org.za. You'll get taken through to www.howesermons.com because we host on an international site to save space. Little interesting fact. Howe needs shepherds. Howe needs pastors. They don't have to be ordained. They don't have to be sitting in the front row. For this church to grow and to correctly facilitate this amazing message that we've encountered and honored and loved, we need pastors just to find out how you're doing. Pastors who can sit down and just have a cup of coffee. That's all we need. Let's demand an environment that actively rests in bearing fruit. Let's raise the standard by which we do church. And good works, good works, good works. So I'm going to ask the worship guys if they want to come up. I have gone over time, but you know, honestly, I don't care. Like, there's something to be released in this house. There's something like we've been so consumed and infatuated with this message. I feel as soon as you pop the cork on kingdom, it's just going to flow. The youth in this church is going to walk into everything they called into. Good works is going to be flowing. We're going to be known. People are going to be like, are you the church that fulfills the law? That's what they're going to say to us. Because we're going to be living out of Christ. And it's not condemning. It's the fruit of freedom.